If you would be so kind to open your Bibles to Numbers chapter 5, that is where we'll begin this morning. Numbers chapter 5. Seems as though there are several families who have lost loved ones. Please keep them in your prayers. I noticed yesterday in Eflin, which is where Sam's uncle lives, that there was a funeral there yesterday for one of the members of the Sykes family, a family that is quite prevalent in that area. The Lawson family is also family that's quite prevalent in the Eflin area. So please keep those and other families in your prayers. Numbers chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Command the children of Israel that they put out of the camp every leper, everyone who has a discharge, and whoever becomes defiled by a corpse. You shall put out both male and female. You shall put them outside the camp, that they may not defile their camps in the midst of which I dwell." And the children of Israel did so, and put them outside the camp. As the Lord spoke to Moses, so the children of Israel did. As the Lord spoke to Moses, so the children of Israel did. If only as the Lord spoke, God's children today would do. Today there's a greater emphasis on explaining away than being obedient to. God gave a command, Numbers chapter 5. A command is not optional. God gave a command, and the children of Israel did as commanded. In the New Testament, we have commands, we have examples to follow, and we have necessarily inferred actions which we have to lean upon to guide us in our Christian service and worship. If only as the Lord spoke, if only God's children would do. Now we know that the children of Israel failed time and time again, but in this particular case, they did what they were told to do. You shall put them outside the camp, that they may not defile their camps in the midst of which I dwell. God was present, and defilement was unacceptable. This was a sanitary measure as well for the children of Israel. The people needed this sanitary measure. The leper, for example, was contagious. He needed to be outside the camp, for the whole camp would be afflicted. Moses, in prescribing this law handed to him by God, would not know all the details of leprosy. It would be 3,500 years later before a better understanding of leprosy would come into play. But leprosy was something to be dealt with, and dealt with very quickly, because it was a danger. It was a danger to all the people. Had Moses and the people not followed the command of God, it's possible that all of the people would have been infected. Leviticus, both chapter 13 and chapter 14 make it very clear God had a way of dealing with it, even though Moses and the people did not fully understand it. Leviticus chapter 13, verse 4, but the priest shall isolate the one who has the sore 7 days. Verse 21, the priest shall isolate him 7 days. Verse 26, the priest shall isolate him 7 days. Verse 31, the priest shall isolate the one 7 days. Verse 33 and verse 54, the priest shall isolate him another 7 days. We take a look at it, and we see the seriousness of it, and we shall isolate him again. The end of Leviticus tells us, this is the law, the leprous plague, and a garment of wool and linen, either in the wrap or woof or in anything made of leather, to pronounce it clean or pronounce it unclean. It's either clean or it's unclean. And if it's unclean, it needs to be isolated. It was a sentence put outside the camp. You didn't go near. You certainly wouldn't touch. And that person who was put outside the camp, it was like a prison sentence to them. So much so that if one of the family members or someone else had compassion for someone with leprosy, they may take them a bowl of food of some type and prearrange to set it at a distance and back off and back far away, and then the leper knew that they could go and pick up the food. This was a very serious matter. This was a repulsive disease. But God had made an incredible, detailed instruction of how it was to be dealt with. Verse 45, now the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn and his head bare, and he shall cover his mustache and cry, unclean, unclean. Just to make sure that you didn't go near. It's my understanding that in poorer countries around the world, leprosy is still very much a problem. But now I also understand that leprosy can be cured in 6 to 12 months of a regimented drug regime. And leprosy in modern countries has been all but overcome. But we wouldn't know that in the time of Moses. Today we've got a lot more information. One expert said, it used to be thought that it was spread only by prolonged skin-to-skin contact, but we think it was spread by coughing and sneezing. Leviticus 13:45, now the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn and his head bare, and he shall cover his mustache and cry, unclean, unclean. Well, the wrap that would cover his mustache would also cover his mouth, so that breath would not breathe forward the air and the disease that would come out of his mouth and infect someone else. God knew that the mouth needed to be covered, and all the people of Israel knew was to stay away from that person because it looked like a skin disease and you didn't want to come into contact and you certainly didn't want to touch. Nothing about leprosy at the time Moses would receive these instructions would lead anyone to believe that this was something that be come into contact with by coughing or someone breathing. I'm reminded of the myths that went around in the early days of AIDS. In the early days of AIDS, you just didn't want to be around that person. They lived a very isolated life. And there was a time when our medical city of Durham, believe it or not, had the highest population of AIDS victims in the United States. Because the city of Durham offered the most advanced treatment for AIDS. And people would come there. But unless you knew that fact, you didn't realize there were so many there. There was a young man who went to high school with our oldest daughter, who lived two houses away, had contacted AIDS through a blood transfusion, and became quite isolated until more knowledge of the disease was known. He was even one of those young men who had the wishes granted to him, and, you know, I'm going to pass away from this disease and I want to go to Disney World, so you go to Disney World type thing. My understanding is that he's still living in the area today because there's advanced knowledge of how to treat that particular disease, as there is today with leprosy. But at the time, isolation was prescribed. And it was prescribed for protection. Stay away. Don't go near that person. Don't touch that person. Now the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn and his head bare, and he shall cover his mustache and cry, unclean, unclean, as to say, don't come near me. Now, if you would, open your Bibles to Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 40. Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 40. Verse 40 reads, now a leper came to him, Jesus, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing to be cleansed. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way. Show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them. However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. Verse 40, now a leper came to him, pleading with him, kneeling down. Humility. And also as to not breathe on him. I can see him not even willing to want to make contact, eye contact. Such tremendous humility. He came to him, kneeling down to him, saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Consider the leper. Luke chapter 5, verse 12 says he was, quote, a man full of leprosy. He was eaten up with it. He heard of Jesus and his miracles, and he comes to Jesus for a cure. There's nowhere else to turn. He eagerly sought Jesus to grant him mercy and cleansing. He'd heard of him, and there was nowhere else to turn. He fell down on his knees. He humbled himself. You can see the enormous distress in this young man. And he appealed to him, if you are willing, if you are willing, you can make me whole. Consider Jesus. The verses which we read said that he is moved with compassion. Jesus was moved with compassion. It's the same compassion that took Jesus to the cross for all us sinners, that we could be washed clean. He stretched out his hand, showed immediately his readiness to make the man clean. Jesus has his hand stretched out today. He has his hand stretched out today to everyone who will turn to him and come to him in humble mindset and bow down before him and plead with him with a full knowledge that you can make me clean. And notice in our passage in Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 40, he touches him. Jesus reaches out and touches the man of leprosy. You think that you have some sin, some condition that Jesus can't deal with? There's nothing Jesus can't deal with. He reached out and he touched this man with leprosy. And I can see everybody around the crowd just backing away. She didn't touch a man with leprosy. Especially a man full of leprosy. He touches him. By Moses' law, this would make Jesus himself legally unclean. Jesus had compassion. He stretched forth his hand and he touched him. He proved at once his love, his unlimited power, his great compassion, and his mercy. Verse 41, then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand, touched him, and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. And look at verse 42. As soon as he had spoken, the leprosy left him, and he was clean. You doubt the power of Jesus Christ to cleanse your soul from your sin? As soon as he had spoken, this man full of leprosy, Luke tells us, was immediately cleansed. Some would say that Jesus broke the law of Moses. Not so. Not so at all. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Jesus did not break the Mosaic law. What Jesus did was fulfill God's law with justice and mercy and faith and compassion. The ultimate fulfillment of God's law. Psalm 89, verse 14. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face. Isaiah 16, verse 5. In mercy the throne will be established, and one who will sit on it in truth. In the tabernacle of David, judges and seeking justice and hastening righteousness. Isaiah 30, verse 18. Therefore the Lord will wait, that he may be gracious to you. And therefore he will be exalted, that he will have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are those who wait for him. Hosea 2, beginning in verse 19. I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness, in justice, in loving kindness, and mercy. Zechariah chapter 7, verse 9. Thus says the Lord of hosts, execute true justice, show mercy and compassion, everyone to his brother. Justice, mercy, compassion, love. Show compassion, everyone to his brother. Jesus walked on this earth at a time of great hypocrisy. Great hypocrisy. The Pharisees, who claimed to uphold to the book of Torah, the Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, they claimed to uphold to that, but they also had intertwined within those books their traditions. In many cases, they had replaced the law with the traditions of the Pharisees. There was great hypocrisy, so much so that Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 23, verse 23, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you pay tithe and mint and anise and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone." You need to do it all. You don't leave anything out. And the weightier matters of the law are justice and mercy and faith. And these you have ignored while you altered the rest of them. We can be guilty of that in the Lord's church today. We can be guilty of altering the New Testament, making it fit within our own preconceived ideas of what God has in plan for us. When what we really need to do is read what it says and do what we read. Read what it says and do what we read. Mark chapter 1. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand, touched him, and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. I'm reminded of the song, "At the Cross." At the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light. Remember that one? Cleansing awaits. Jesus right now has his hand stretched out. He was stretched out on that cross on Calvary. Stretched out. The blood was shed. The crown of thorns. The piercing of the side. The nails in the hands and in the feet. He paid it all. He stretched himself out. With great compassion, he went to the cross. Because he was with God in the beginning, and he knew from the very beginning that this was his destiny. The compassionate Christ. Cleansing awaits. And there's nothing that you have done that the cross will not wash free of sin.
at the cross, where I first saw the light. Cleansing awaits. Have you been cleansed? Have you seen the light? If not, the watery grave of baptism will put you in touch with that blood from the cross, where I first saw the light. If anything's been said this morning that encourages you to come near the cross, come now as we stand and sing the song that Brother Ron has selected.
Hear the sweet voice of Jesus say, come unto me.